All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Before we dive in today's episode, I want to thank you for tuning in and supporting the brand. Over the last few years, I spent a lot of time starting FarmerGrade. We offer meat that you and your family can trust by strictly sourcing our cuts from farmers who share their story and processes online through social media. We provide high-quality beef and pork that is 100% born, raised, and harvested in the United States. If you want to support the content and the message we share online, I would appreciate it if you went over to farmergrade.com and you can use the code BARNTALK to save 10% off your next order. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you. We love you. Now, let's get into the episode. Welcome to Barn Talk. What happens at the barn stays in the barn, but not today. We're going to let it all out for you guys. Today is going to be a Barn Talk Hot Topics episode. We got all the crazy shit going on in the world, and we're going to talk about it, give our honest feedback on it, our ideas and thoughts. Might not be the idea or thought you have, or it might. Who knows? Just got to tune in to see. Before we get into it, though, you know the drill. Share the show. If you get any value from the show, all we ask is you share it out with someone you know, whether it be in person, whether it be on your Instagram story, Facebook story, text message, Snapchat, whatever. The more that you guys do that, the more that the show grows, the better guests we can get on, the more episodes we can make for you. Feel free to leave a review on Spotify or Apple. We're up to 2,000 five-star reviews on Spotify, and we're inching closer every day on 1,000 five-star reviews on Apple. So thank you to everyone that does that. If you want to get your questions answered on the show for our Q&A episodes, you can email us your questions at barntalkshow@gmail.com, and we'll get them answered on the show. We're also going to do another raffle this go-around for January of 2024. So if you want to get a free box of pork from our farm, 10 to 12 pounds of pork from our farm, all we ask that you do this whole entire month for every episode is, if you're listening, we have a thing on Spotify that says, what did you think of this episode? Let us know what your favorite part of the episode was. If you're listening, and then if you're watching on YouTube, like, subscribe, and comment your favorite part of the episode on YouTube, and we will pick, out of all the episodes we post in January, we will pick the winner from both listening and video. So stay tuned for that.
Sawyer has already ruled me ineligible, so you don't have to worry about me stealing your
box. Yeah, you tried throwing in raffle tickets last time. But I
have a few aliases.
I had to throw those down the can. Throw those out.
Well, damn it. It takes a lot of bacon. Winter's here. Got to keep my winter coat on.
I know.
We're supposed to get a big storm. Everybody, I got the call. I had to run to the grocery store and get that 6 gallon of milk and a loaf of bread, you know.
I got my toilet paper because I just didn't want a COVID repeat. So
that's good. You're hooked up. But
I could use my hand. I've done it before, but I figured. I already smell like hog shit enough. I don't think people want to... We don't want to mix the feces, so...
No, that's not a good idea.
No.
Why'd you have to take it there?
I don't know. I just kind of felt like it.
Jeez. This is a family deal here.
I'm just kidding. I don't wipe my ass with my hand.
Okay, well, that's good. I hope most people didn't think you did, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so this is the calm before the snow, or before the storm. Snow's supposed to start here later tonight, and... Everybody's freaking out, and I don't know. I'm somewhat unconvinced because it's like this weather's just been. You can't ever if the snow is anything like the rain, we couldn't buy a rain.
You can't trust the weather man anymore.
I don't know.
It never pans out the way they think it is. I felt like when I was a kid, the weather man was right on the money every time. But nowadays, it's like
I don't know. These storms
they're not cracked up to what they say they're going to be.
Must be climate change.
Yep. Al Gore hit it right on the head, huh?
Okay, well, I have, hot off the press, the market update, courtesy of our friends at Cats Green in Washington, Iowa. Not a great day. Hasn't been a great couple of weeks, really, for grains to start in. The last week of the year and the first week of the new year, not that great. So corn, 454. Locally, 457. Beans, 1239. Burlington, 1235. And across the river in Quincy, 1274. March wheats, 596. Bean meals closed at $368 a ton. Hogs, still trash, $70.50. That's like a broken record. Cattle, $170. And feeder cattle, $223. That's actually about the lowest cattle bid I've seen in quite a while. It's worked down a little bit. Still very high, though. Crude oil for February, $71. So OPEC came out last episode that we did a market update. OPEC came out and they said they were going to cut production by a million barrels. And I think they thought that the market was going to really react with everything going on over there in the Suez Canal and around the world. And oil didn't really move much. And so then this week, Saudi Arabia came out and they said they're going to lower the price of oil because they think demand is hurting. So they're going to go the other way. So oil last time I looked was $71. Bitcoin, the spring continues, 47,000. Tesla, $240, gold, $2,033, silver, $21.
What did Bitcoin get to at its peak? Was it like 60, or did it get in the 70s?
That is a great question.
I thought it was like 68, 65.
Yeah, it was right up there.
I don't know if it got into the 70s. Maybe low 70s, but do you think it can get to 100? You think this spring will take it to 100K?
I don't know whether it'll get there. It'll set a new high. I think it'll go to a new high. Whether it breaks 100, I don't know. But you got a lot of big money now moving into it. And so it's funny, we talked about this a long time ago when we were talking a lot on Bitcoin, but pretty much everybody from BlackRock to Bank of America, Wells Fargo, all your big banks, your big investment houses, Jamie Dimon stood up, gave a speech, talked about how stupid Bitcoin was, and it was a joke, and it was never going to amount to anything. Guess what? They're all buying. They all have it on their balance sheets. They're all buying. So now you've got credibility where before they were working against it. Now then, it's in their best interest to make it work. So yeah, I think it's going to go up.
I think it's funny that, you know, when the economy was all great, you know, everybody was buying. Like it was thriving. It was going. And then kind of shit hit the fan. And that's where I think a lot of people sold, or a lot of people got out of it because they got uncertain and they wanted it in cash, or they wanted it in an asset that's real, or, you know, tangible to have in your hand, or you can see it, whatever. But it's funny, we're still not out of the shit yet. If anything, we're kind of in the shit, and it's starting to trickle back up again. So it's maybe people are starting to realize, they're going, maybe that, you know, because we, if you know Bitcoin, it's like you think that, you know, that it can't be printed. They can't inflate it, right? And like, if you're sold on Bitcoin and you've been an advocate of Bitcoin, you know that like it's good when the economy is good, and it's also good when the economy is bad. It's a hedge against the establishment, whatever, right? But I think more people are waking up to that idea of like, hey, I maybe don't want all my money in cash.
Yeah.
Right. Even when it's in shitty times with uncertainty, maybe I want it in something that the government can't control. I don't know. But I think it's weird that a lot of people sold when times got shitty, but people are starting to buy back again when times are still shitty.
Yeah.
You'd think that they would start buying again when things got better. But
well, that was one of the things that I think added more to Bitcoin's decline was that when everybody was, and the other thing you got to remember is we had all that COVID money. People had all stimmies. That COVID money, and they were putting, I mean, you saw all your
stimmies. Of hell, I did. I put my stimmies in Bitcoin and stock and stuff.
So that you had that effect. But everybody talked about how when times go bad and the dollar loses value and stocks lose their value, that Bitcoin is a store of value. Like a lot of people want to call it digital gold. But when things did go that way, a lot of the people that bought into that quickly chickened out and they dumped Bitcoin. The idea, a lot of people had the idea that crypto was going to run counter to typical investments. Like when stocks were bad, when housing was bad, when everything else was going bad, they thought Bitcoin was the thing that people were going to go to. And I mean, and it makes sense that you would think that because they can't print more of it. It's finite amount. And so the value should be, you can't inflate it.
Government can't control it.
But it's exactly what you said. People got scared. And instead of being the last thing they dumped, a lot of people that had money in stocks, money in real estate, money in Bitcoin, crypto, what's the first thing they dumped? Crypto.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see this time, which I think you're already seeing it, is you have more institutional investors that are buying it. So it could run more because you just have bigger money coming behind it.
And I think that why people sold, I mean, I don't blame people for selling it. It's new, you know, it's new, right? Yeah. It doesn't have the track record that it's always going to come back.
Right.
I mean, it's done it before, but how... It hasn't had like a, it's not the S&P that's right. Had, you know, however many years.
Yeah.
A lot of years of track record on it.
And the other thing, you can make the argument, the government did everything they could to make people less sure about it because you had all the crypto exchanges that were.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was that guy's name that got.
Sam Brinkman,
yeah,
Freed,
yeah. I don't know what was his platform.
I can't remember. See, that's how fast
fraud. Yeah, yeah. He kind of put it all in a bad light.
Yeah, and they dropped a bunch of charges against him. You know, he's going to end up wandering out of that because he gave a shitload of money to about every politician out there.
Yeah.
So I think they're just going to let that go and keep dragging it out. And one of these days, you're going to realize that. He probably doesn't serve hardly any time, and he just took a whole shitload of people's money. But the feds were all over a lot of these crypto exchanges, so there was all this uncertainty, and that just added to people dumping it. So,
and there's a lot of guys out there that pump these crypto coins.
Oh,
and I think Bitcoin's kind of think it's like the mature class of crypto. There's a few coins or. Whatever you want to say that are mature versus a lot of the other shit, but there's still people that are in everything that want to pump shit up and then sell at the high and whatever, make their quick buck. But anyway, that was a little longer than I thought we'd go on Bitcoin, but I think it's interesting. You know, it's coming back up, and I think that it's one of those things that's new that people are still trying to figure out what their opinion is on it. I know there's going to be people that. No matter what, hate digital currency because they're afraid the government will ultimately control every element of your life, which that's a fair point. I totally see where you're coming from there, but I don't know if a government can control Bitcoin, but if they were to take the dollar and make that digital, that's where I think you get worried about control and stuff like that. But
if you're worried about the government controlling the currency, the anti digital US dollar is Bitcoin because every digital currency is totally controlled by the government. We did a whole thing about this, how they could control, like if you move to a digital currency, digital dollar, you will never see a stimulus deal like what happened during COVID because during COVID, they were just throwing money at anybody. Everybody got a check. If you go to a digital currency, the government, they can fine-tune that to, oh, you have this level income, oh, you don't get any. Or,
oh, you're this skin color? Oh, yeah. 100%. Or you're not this skin color? Yeah.
And then they can tune it what you can buy it on. I mean, just look at the Chinese. If you go down a rabbit hole, see how the Chinese control their population, digital currency is a really good way to do that. So if you're worried about that, Bitcoin is where you want to move if the world is looking to move to a digital exchange of value, not digital currency, not a digital dollar. Yeah. Anyway, that's my snarky opinion.
Yeah.
Lots of insanity.
All right. Well, we're going on to the topics here. We're going to get rolling. And this first topic, it's kind of, there's going to be a lot thrown in here. There's a lot of subtopics in this first one. But I guess we're going to call this first topic the rebellion against the woke mind virus that's happening across the United States, but across the world. I feel like there's a lot of people that are sick and tired of this shit. And so,
yeah,
that was my attempt to whirl you up and let you go.
We might not even get started. This could end up being just the one topic, topic, because we have really three pots, but this one, holy cow. I mean, it's so here a couple weeks ago, a week ago, I listened to a podcast and a guy was talking about the homeless problem, the drug problem in California. And while talking about that, he got going about how empathy has now morphed out there into this monster of all these woke people, because there is no pushback. There's no balance of government. The government, both in the cities and the state of California, are 100% bought and paid for liberal. And it's really only the difference between, I don't know, standard liberals and totally off the reservation far lefters. And what has happened is it's become a race, or he said it's become like a race of empathy. So it wasn't enough. Like if you're for letting people sleep on the streets, well, then I'm for letting people sleep on the streets and get paid for it. And you're for free drug rehab. Well, you should be able to just be you, man. We don't need that. We should just be able to make sure that you're safe while you're partaking of drugs. And, you know, there was a push. There's a lot of places where they have shelters, and to stay in the shelter, you have to get a negative drug test. Well, California said, screw that, because that's, you're discriminating, and it's not that person's fault. That person should be able to be in there. And it's just like this race to the bottom. And along with it, part of the problem, and I don't know if it's a problem or part of what goes hand in hand with that, is it's this idea that's being taught throughout our schools, throughout academia, that there are oppressed and there are oppressors. There are victims. And if you're a victim, there is no, you can never redeem yourself. There's no hero of the story. There is nobody that falls and then you struggle, you learn, you redeem yourself, and you become the victor. You become the hero of the story. It is, you are oppressed, you are a victim, and the best that you can hope for is to get some money, to get some care, to get some comfort, get somebody else to pay for your pain so that at least you can be comfortable while wallowing in your own self-pity. And that goes hand in hand with this movement of just like radical empathy that, you know, we shouldn't try to rehabilitate anybody. We shouldn't try to inspire people to want better. All we can do is try to comfort them and enable whatever they're fighting, just enable and maybe comfort them along the way. And I thought about that. That really, like, I guess you could say that really spoke to me, because you talk about anti-American. You wonder why there's people that hate this country. Well, they hate it because
they're being taught to hate it.
They've bought into this idea that it's too hard. Like, you've seen these TikToks of these millennials out there and these Gen, well, I don't know, what are we on now? I don't know what
Gen Z.
Gen Zers, yeah. Or whatever. that, you know, they're in tears because they work an 8-hour day or they have a shift and they, you know, they can't make enough money and it's terrible. And it's the idea that you should not have to struggle and that you, it's just too hard. Well, it's, you're living in the easiest time the world has ever seen. And if, yeah, if this is too hard, you wait and see what's coming.
Oh, I,
so yeah, it's this idea. No, we're not taught. We are not taught today American exceptionalism. The rest of the world, the rest of the world still looks here. There's a guy that hauls your dry ice that's an immigrant. And he's the most patriotic son of a bitch that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's come from somewhere that he knows what Russia. Hard is.
He's come from Russia.
Yeah. He knows what hard is.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows there's nowhere else in the world, and he's told you the same. There's nowhere else in the world that has as much opportunity here if you just work hard. And he is a hard, he's a hustling son of a bitch.
Yep. Worked his way up.
We aren't, our kids are not taught that. You are not taught that today. American exceptionalism, that is a dirty, that is, we are colonialists, you misogynists, bigots.
Founded on white supremacy.
Oh, white supremacists. It's just
arrogant. It's,
yeah, all that stuff. Well, what they're really teaching is that you should not even strive. Don't strive to make yourself better. Do not strive to hold a job, to save money, to own your own business, to have a family, to have a family
that stays intact.
That stays intact.
Yeah.
No, you are a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody has wronged you somehow, and you need to be somehow cared for. And it's, you just see it. All of this wokeness and all of this crap, when you strip it all away, it just like hit me that's really all it comes down to is it's just this, it's this black and white point of view difference that you either look at the world and you look at it as this is opportunity.
Yeah, this is my playground and I can make the most of it and make my life anything I want it to be.
And I am not perfect and I've got problems and I've got this and I've got to fix this. I've got to make it better, but I can. But they don't want you to ever get to that thought of I can. It's no, you can't, and you need us. You need whoever, you need fill in the blank to take care of you, to coddle you, to somehow try to make you whole, and it's somebody else's fault and they should pay for it. It's not you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was fuck, if we had a fucking bomb button, I would have hit the bomb on that because that was good. No, I agree with you. And I think it's a multitude of what you just said, but also like just as society has moved and evolved, like we unintentionally made us as people weaker too, because I feel like, yes, that they're teaching that, but also the world evolved and it's everything's so much easier. The lack of perspective of how what is actually hard is no longer available.
Right.
The only reason I know what is actually hard is because, like, my grandpa fought in World War II. I saw you see an example of it, right? You hear examples in your family, and you hear people and see the struggle and see that. And if you're never exposed to that, and all you're exposed to is what your teacher tells you or what the establishment tells you or what the government tells you or what the big media wants to tell you, yeah, it's hard to have a hope mindset of exceptionalism. So I think it's hard because we don't know. You can't expose kids to hard like kids were exposed to it every day like they used to be, you know?
Right.
Like you knew what hard was because you lived it. Yeah. Every kid had a job on the farm and was out here and they were working their asses off and they went through real shit and like done some real hard stuff. And like that just isn't, we're not, and the other thing is we're not pushing kids to seek that anymore.
Right.
I mean, you're seeing that pushback a little bit. You know, you have people out there like Andy Frisella is a perfect example. 75 hard, developed this mindset program that helps people seek hard. Seek mental toughness. Do shit that's hard every day to reframe your mind.
Yeah.
And it gives you the confidence to know what you can achieve yourself. And like, that's rewiring people's brains. Like, that's a movement that is happening, and more young people are moving to it. Because on the other side of that is when you realize that it's all on your shoulders, yes, that is stressful, but that's also very powerful. When you know I can do whatever the fuck I put my mind to if I just work at it every day, that's powerful.
Yeah.
It's really powerful. And so I think when people start to go down that path of pursuing hard shit and they get some sort of benefit from doing what's hard, they realize, damn, like that's it right there. That's what I need to go after more often, because this seeking comfortable and sitting on your phone and fucking watching porn and fucking having your dopamine receptors blow up and just be absolutely maxed out every day, eating shitty food. I mean, you name it. It doesn't serve you.
Yeah.
You don't feel good as a human being by doing that. We're all guilty of doing that, where you have a day where you don't do shit, and then how do you feel? You feel like, holy fuck, you just don't even feel good.
And you put together a string of that. You put together months of that.
And everybody's telling you, you just need to just stay in that.
Yeah. And so as I thought about this, so I listened to this podcast, and then family friends of ours that we've known forever, I mean, they're kind of like extended family of ours. When our kids were young, we would go to a hotel around New Year's, and, you know, we'd stay and we had poolside rooms and the kids play in the pool and we'd play cards and all that. We haven't done that for years. Our kids are all grown, but they decided they were going to do it with their extended family, and they invited us to go, and we went. We stayed in a hotel, and it was a great time. And anyway, the next morning I woke up, and we were kind of waiting for everybody to get going because we were going to all have breakfast together down in the, you know, lobby area, whatever, the hall there. And I haven't watched morning network television in years. I'm sure it's been years. And Good Morning America was on. And I sat there and I watched them, and they were going through the news of the day. And of course they were talking about Trump, which they all cannot. I mean, you talk about, for a group of people that hate Donald Trump, their livelihood depends on talking about Donald Trump because it's the only thing that gets their base riled up. But I mean, I just had this thought of like, I felt so sorry for the hosts of that show because it was the most, like every phrase, every word that came out of their mouth, you could just sense everything's a script. Like when we
sit
down and talk.
It's fucking theater now.
It is 100% theater.
That's what it is.
And they're just spooning this shit out. And I mean, regardless, obviously I don't agree with their shit, what they're pushing, but anybody that has had any time that just has normal conversations with other people, to sit there and watch what they're spooning out, you're just like, what? Who in the fuck believes this?
Well, it's like even I can see it, but I'm sure you can see it more than I can because you've had more experience watching the news than I have, but I remember as a kid, it was not that way.
Yeah.
It was not theater. When you watch that shit today, it is like they are actors.
Oh.
They are like saying shit like, what was the guy that said when Vivek did his whole debate stage thing and was polarizing and the black news anchor on CNN, and he said he was a demagogue or whatever.
Yeah.
He's a modern demagogue, and the scary part about him is he's going to outlive Donald Trump by 20 years, and I was literally shaking.
Yeah.
With fear or anger or whatever.
Well,
it's like, dude, I was literally shaking.
So all of this.
Who would ever, like, you are so out of touch, or so you're just doing it for what they want you to do it for.
The best example of this, you showed me the best example, and I don't know if we can put this in or whether or not, just go look for it yourself. There is a clip of an MSNBC anchor who has this guy on his show that wrote a book. He was a Capitol cop. And I'm not so sure it's not the guy that's running. He's running for like a representative from.
I think he is, actually.
I think that's the guy. So, of course, they had him on to promote his book because he's going to end up running for political office. And if he's on MSNBC, you know he's completely bought and paid for by somebody. That's why he's there. However, this anchor was introducing him. And he was talking about,
my God,
the insurrection.
Yeah, we'll dub it in. And we're going to dub it in because you have to watch it.
I'm going to try to get through this. Thank you for what you did 3 years ago today. Please tell me your thoughts on this third anniversary.
Who in their right mind is watching this guy and thinking that he is sincere at all? He is literally, when you say it's theater, it is theater.
That was 1,000% theater. Those were fake tears. Because here's the deal. We all know the new videos have came out from January 6th. The big media machine, wants to paint January 6th as like it was fucking 9/11 part 2. They want to make it this historical event that happened on American soil that's going to be written in the history books for years to come. You know what's going to be actually written about that fucking event? That the U.S. government and big media hyped it up to be a bigger deal than what it actually was, and it was a bunch of fucking bullshit is what it comes down to. And most common sense people that go and like look at the video footage of what has actually came out over the last couple months, you can see guards letting people in, shooting them with rubber bullets to get them riled up. I'm not saying everybody that was there had great intentions, but this whole idea that it was like this planned insurrection that fucking fired them up and they wanted to go storm the Capitol and like
it was not an attempt to overthrow the government.
God, it was not. And this idea that they're still pushing it just even makes them look even fucking dumber. So, and for him to sit there and thank you, he was literally thanking him about bawling his eyes out.
Yeah.
And like it was like he was talking to a firefighter from fucking 9/11. It's not even on the same playing field, dude. You're not, it's, don't even act like it is, because it's not. And everybody knows it's not. Everybody watching knows you're full of shit.
And when you figure out that guy that he was talking to, he's there to get a payday.
Yeah.
He wrote this book, and I'm pretty sure he got to fact check me on that. I think he's the same guy that he's running for political office. So he's going to try to parlay this into a political career. But anyway, all of this big pot of yuck to kind of lead us to, there are some things that happened this last week, that at a bigger level, I think people across this country and in different roles, different industries, are starting to wake up and go, this is bullshit. And the one I want to start with is this whole deal over the president of Harvard. So, you know, these three Ivy League school presidents, they went before Congress to testify about anti-Semitic protests and statements that people made and whether that was hate speech or not. And basically, they wouldn't answer the question. It's a pretty easy question.
Yeah, what was it? They just asked the president of Harvard, literally in this clip, you can watch, it's like 20 times.
Is that hate speech?
Do you classify that as hate speech? And she wouldn't answer it.
Right.
She would not say it was or wasn't. Yeah. She would just dance around the question.
So when it was all said and done, people were pissed. People were pissed. And there started to be a lot of backlash against these schools. And one of the people that were seriously pissed about it was Bill Ackman. And I think he runs Pershing Square. And he's also a big donor, and he donated a lot of money to one of these schools. And he had already pulled some of his donation back and said, if you don't clean this shit up, I'm not going to give you any more money. Well, he wrote a letter to the board. In fact, he wrote three letters, and they never replied to him. And he wouldn't let it go. And he was making a lot of comments on Twitter. He was writing op-ed pieces. Well, the momentum grew and grew and grew, and they fired the president of Harvard. But they didn't fire her for what she said. They fired her because of plagiarism. Because out of the seven pieces of work that she had written that was part of her dissertation, I don't know what the hell you call it. I'm not much of a college person. But of the works that she had written, they found however many times where she didn't quote her sources and she basically plagiarized somebody's work. People are like, well, it doesn't matter. They got her out of there. Only they didn't get her out of there. They just took her back and made her a teacher, but they're still paying her her president's salary. Well, Bill Ackman was like, bullshit. And he shined a light on that, and he kind of went after her. So then, because this is how elitists operate, conveniently,
Business Insider,
who is a shit publication, and the only reason I know that is because they spend an awful lot of time going after Elon Musk. The number of stories that Business Insider has put out about Tesla, SpaceX, Neuralink, Elon Musk, I mean, it's insane. They're kind of like the Democrats with Trump. I mean, they love bagging on Elon Musk and Tesla. So they come out and they write this hit piece about Bill's wife. And Bill's wife I want to say she went to MIT. I also want to say she taught at MIT. And she left not long after she married him. And she owns a business of her own. She's very smart. She holds some patents. She has a lot of intellectual property. She's written a lot of stuff. And they went after her, claiming that there were 28 instances that they found that she plagiarized something. Well, Bill's playing a little bit like Elon in the fact that he's not somebody you want to trifle with. So he came out here a couple days ago, and he is going to spend a huge amount of money with a third party, and they're going to go through all of the written works of all of the presidents and all of the board members of all the Ivy League schools, and they're going to release it all to the public and show everybody what plagiarism is, and they're going to let them see how many of these people in academia have been just promoted from within, and the only people that check on the shit that they say are their peers, and they're all in the same boat, they're all in the same club, and they all think the same way, so they all get a pass. They can pretty much do whatever they want. And I just thought that was very refreshing for somebody to just push back and say, no, we're not going to take this shit. And that's the first example I'll give you. You can give the second.
Yeah, second example was what's happened in the sports world, kind of. So Aaron Rodgers went on Pat McAfee's show, and Pat McAfee originally created his own show on YouTube and had a podcast and live streamed all that. But then ESPN signed to a huge $1 million contract. I mean, shit, he makes more money now than he ever did being a punter in the NFL. And it's very well-deserved. If you ever watch College Game Day or if you ever watch Pat McAfee's show, Pat McAfee is a fucking man. He is a G. I love watching him talk about football. It is hilarious, and they do a great job. And he has honestly brought life back to ESPN. I mean, he really has. ESPN's, I don't know, I haven't looked at their ratings, but you just talking with people in my circle who watch sports, more people are watching ESPN because of Pat McAfee. And so Aaron Rodgers went on a show, and Aaron Rodgers is a regular guest on his show, especially during this season where when he had his Achilles injury and all that. And Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. You know, I used to not love Aaron Rodgers because he beat up on my Cowboys and beat them too many times. But I have gained new respect for Aaron Rodgers for not taking a stand for shit that he wants to take a stand for. I respect that. And so he came on the show, and I don't know, somehow they got they were talking about Epstein's list, and Aaron Rodgers threw out a comment about Jimmy Kimmel and how when Jimmy Kimmel, because I'm pretty sure Jimmy Kimmel came after Aaron Rodgers for the whole vaccination thing.
Yes, he did.
And so Aaron Rodgers probably don't like Jimmy Kimmel that much, and he's probably, you know, holds that to his heart a little bit. So Aaron Rodgers made a comment like, I'm going to pop open a champagne bottle when that comes out and Jimmy Kimmel's on the list. And that was live on ESPN. So like, Pat McAfee doesn't just have his own platform anymore. He is on ESPN, right? And so, and I think they still do clips on YouTube, but for Pat McAfee, but it's hosted on ESPN. And so the CEO or president of ESPN is pissed about it. And he's come out and said that they're questioning whether they even need Pat McAfee on the show. And they're really pondering the idea if they just want to get rid of Pat McAfee. But then a couple days ago, Pat McAfee, mid-show on ESPN, just calls out his boss, like on Pat McAfee's show, just calls him out. Norby Williamson is the CEO or president of ESPN, whatever. Just calls him out mid-show. And like, you look at the other analysts' faces, and they're just kind of like, oh, shit, it's going down.
Yep.
And and that's just another example of Pat McAfee saying, fuck you. Like, I am ESPN. Like, Pat McAfee knows his value. Pat McAfee knows his worth. And I think a lot of people that have watched football this year know his worth too. And I'll be the first to say it. If they want to get rid of Pat McAfee, Pat McAfee's going to still thrive. And I'll go support Pat McAfee before I'll support ESPN, because ESPN is a train wreck, and it has been a train wreck. And he has really brought life back into it, because he's so refreshing to see somebody be 100% authentic that can throw out a couple F-bombs on the show and like just talk about sports like we think about it at home, right? I mean, that's what's so awesome about him. He brings life to it. It's not this agenda, you know, look at the teleprompter, look at your sheet, go straight off your notes. He's creative. He's funny. He's authentic. Authentic.
He might be, for those of you that don't watch the show, I would say that Pat McAfee's show is, well, it's the barn talk of sports.
It is. It kind of is. I'll give them mad credit. They're on a huge, dude, they kill it. I love their show. I love their show. But it's another example of people saying, you know what? Screw the establishment. Screw the established name. ESPN, that guy, he's arrogant enough to go, yeah, we might not even need Pat McAfee. Why even have him? We don't need those kind of comments on our show. And Pat's like, okay, call a spade a spade. You're going to can me or what? Because yeah. I can go do my own thing. I don't need you, ESPN. And we'll see what happens. Nothing's come out about whether they're going to get rid of him officially or not. But just was refreshing to see Pat McAfee go, because he knows the people watching at home
are going wherever
fucking
he
resonate
goes
with that. They value that. They really stand with Pat. So I do too. I think it's awesome.
ESPN needs Pat McAfee way more than Pat needs ESPN.
Yeah.
And what this all came about is this Norby Williamson, supposedly rating numbers got leaked before they were officially released. And the rating numbers that got released were false, and they were way lower for viewership than what the actuals were. And it got traced back to Norby Williamson, because he is the one that hired Pat McAfee. It was his decision to bring that show, but he doesn't like his politics. And now the idea is he's trying to sabotage the show. And And the thing is, he wasn't even care. I think what it's going to come down to is he wasn't even careful about it because he's an arrogant. It's the arrogance of media. And what I love about this example is it is the same thing that you're seeing with Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan has more viewership than your MSNBCs, your CNNs. People any watch night show. That. They consume that. And Pat McAfee, ESPN without him, they were losing money huge. In fact, Disney was going to spin them off and sell them. I mean, Disney's its own dumpster fire, but they were going to spin that off and sell it at one point because just to generate cash. But if you take him out of it, he will, just like you said, he will thrive. If you take him out of it, ESPN will be, they'll perish. And mm-hmm. what they'll do is they'll try to recreate something that kind of looks like what Pat has. But what they don't realize is the value of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't recreate that.
Well, it used to be, in entertainment, it used to be, you know, you could trade the people. You could trade the stars. Yep. They come and go. But now the stars have the opportunity to create their own platform.
Yep.
And they can go where they damn well please. And so you could, old time, you could just get rid of an anchor and no one's ever going to hear of them again. Like, yeah. Oh, whatever. You can't do that shit anymore.
No.
Because we're going to follow Pat McAfee. We're going to go where Pat McAfee is. That's the reality of it. And, you know, there's other people. If ESPN doesn't see the value in Pat McAfee, there's other networks that do. And just what he brought to College Game Day this year for college football, I'm sure, because I have never seen College Game Day be more electric than what it was this year. And I'm sure everybody's going to be chomping at the bit to try to bring that back and want that again. And I just, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're in a couple weeks, if you're, you know, you see a blurb on some on Twitter or you happen to see a newspaper, you hear about it, and you hear some guy named Norby Williamson that's out, that's why he's out.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. he thought that he was bigger than the talent, and he was not. But anyway, you know, all of this to say that there is just like such a division in this country between people that like see the difference, like see the night and day black and white difference between all of this crap, this gruel that is served up by people that are nothing but actors, and there's no authenticity to it. And you can once you have woke up and you have been exposed to the reality of everybody's trying to peddle you something, and you better know where the money's coming from before you make your decision as to whether that's real or not. Once you wake up to that, when you look at this media, this old media, and these news shows, and the people that are babbling on them, like, it's comical. It's practically comical. And I think that the group, the size, the amount of people that are waking up to that, there's no going back. And you're going to see the shit you're going to see this year in 24 of these.
Oh, it's going
to
be
them trying to hold on. The shit that's going to get thrown out there,
it's going
to
be hilarious.
It's going to be insane. But it isn't going to matter, because I truly believe the ship has sailed and there's no going back. And what you saw with Bill Ackman, what you're seeing with Pat McAfee, what you're seeing with Disney,
Joe Rogan,
Bud Light. Yeah. All that stuff. There's no going back. And I am tired of it.
People are tired of it. That is the reality. And it's awesome. I just was thinking about it when we were talking, when we first initially started on that topic, and we are at 50 minutes, so that one was a big-ass topic.
Yes.
We told you there was a lot of subtopics in there, but we got to where we wanted to go.
Yeah.
I just think it's a mix of what you were talking about. Demote exceptionalism in America. Don't promote that. Promote what you were saying. Victim mentality.
Yep.
Our own human evolution and just evolving, society evolving around us has made us all weaker and given us lack of perspective.
Yep.
And then also the intentional pursuit of destroying our morals and the fabric of like the family unit of just, and the people that
incentivizing destructive behavior.
Yeah. I mean, just destroying the fabric of what makes a family and just destroying facts and shit that we've and stuff that we live and just trying to totally break it all apart. I feel like it's just all that shit that's just making it so chaotic. And I mean, what we said here, we're like, once you see the black and white, right? It's just, there's this huge divide between people, but that's all done on purpose. It's all been done for a reason.
But it's all been done behind closed doors, and it's been done in a way that I don't think people realized until there was a tipping point. There was a tipping point where they were just giving you these little slivers of this shit, and it didn't really make sense. But now they overplayed their hand. What it comes down to is the left, the media, the government, they've overplayed their hand to the point that it's so damn obvious that a majority of Americans are just waking up and going, this is complete bullshit. And I'm excited for it.
I am too.
I love it. We're gonna get our shit together.
I love it. And I feel like my generation or younger. I know there's a lot of ideology, but like there's a lot of ideology that gets promoted and pushed in universities and schools and shit like that, right? But I just feel like there's almost like a pushback. There's a pushback. When kids learn what we're talking about, they get it.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we get that.
Well, but your generation is the group that they got sold the bill of goods that you got to go to college and you got to get this. And if you're there, you might as well get a master's. And that's the only way you're going to be successful. And then they graduate and they go out in the world and they get a job and they realize that job is not going to pay that student debt. And they see somebody that's a fucking plumber and they're in better shape than they are. I mean, your generation is seeing that what they've been sold is bullshit.
Well, yeah, and I think we've grown up with just everything around us we have to question and dig a little deeper on. Yeah. And there's, you know, there's just a lot of that. So I feel like with young people, yes, there's a lot of young people that are totally bought what the media tells them. But I think there's also a huge majority of young people that are like me too, that are like, we're free thinkers. We're going to think for ourselves. We're going to look past the headline and we're gonna rebel against what you're telling us a little bit. Hey, thanks for sticking with us. We appreciate every single one of you guys. Let's keep this ball rolling. Leave a review on Spotify or Apple. Follow us on YouTube. Pay the fee. Share it out with who you know. It all helps, guys. We appreciate every single one of you. We love you. Now, let's get back to the podcast.
Okay, let's go through.
Yeah, we'll go fast on these next two.
Let's go through Epstein as quick as we can, and then okay. I really want to talk about the whole European farm thing.
Okay, well, all I'll say is, as y'all know, the Epstein list, quote-unquote list, came out, and it really wasn't what everybody thought it was going to be. You know, they were making it seem like all the big names, all these big time names were going to come out and be on the list. But the list that they provided didn't really, I mean, there was a little bit of that, but not a lot. And I think,
well, it's not attached to what any of those people really on the list.
Yeah.
For.
I mean, the thing about it is people are looking at that list and they're saying that ain't really the list. Is what it comes down to. What I gather looking around at what people are chatting about and writing about and posting about, people aren't buying that's the list that they want to, that's really the list. They're just giving us some bullshit list to shut us up and to give the people what they wanted because they knew we wanted, they knew we were going to want something. We want accountability for what has happened there.
Yeah.
And we all know that some shady fucking shit has happened there. But I still don't think the list is still out. Jeffrey Epstein definitely did not kill himself. And his wife, Ghislaine Maxwell, she's in prison. And yet none of these people that were on the client list, it's funny, he's quote unquote, you know, he's dead. She's in prison or in jail, whatever. and none of the clients have been released. Officially, like 100% know for a fact that they did some crazy shit. Like, that's nobody. I mean, there's no accountability on that client list.
But
isn't that funny how that is? It's like, yeah, those two are the evil ones, but so were
everybody
on that list. Everybody who participated were on that list. Yet those two died. One of them died, and one of the other ones in prison. But none of the other ones are accountable.
Well, the
shady
fact that she's still alive tells you that I think she still has a hand to play. Because if she didn't, I think she'd be dead.
And supposedly, I just saw something today, and this is not official. This is not, I don't know, and I don't know when you guys hear this if more of this will come out. But I saw that somebody said that there was video footage of Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, and Russell Brunson, billionaire. Or not Russell Brunson, Richard Branson. Russell Brunson. Russell Brunson started ClickFunnels. Russell, I'm sorry. I did not mean to bring you into this. Richard Branson, Virgin Mobile, Virgin whatever. They have video footage of them fucking having sex, underage women on camera. Yeah. And that, if you watch the documentary or dig into it, a lot of people think that Jeffrey Epstein, how he became so wealthy and so influential as far as how many people, the people that he got connected with, how did he do it? Well, a lot of people think that he had these mansions and he put security cameras everywhere, hidden cameras everywhere, and he got dirt on all of them. Yeah. He was able to blackmail the fuck out of people, and that's how he rose to power. And that, I don't know about you. He had a whole ass island. He had a few mansions across the world, and he had a lot of people at those parties. And so when you think about that, that to me makes a little bit of sense. And then this comes out supposedly not 100% reported through a credible source, just people chattering on Twitter. I think that could be what's happened.
Well, I'll finish with this. From the time that Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide, in my air quotes, I have kind of just thought that it's never going to see the light of day, because if you can get into the highest security prison in New York, you can get the two armed guards to just wander off and the security cameras to all go down and then convince the person in that cell to suicide themselves, who's going to take you down? Because whoever it is that is holding the cards on this deal, there isn't a flashlight bright enough to open that up. The only thing that I'll say, though, is the fact that his girlfriend is still alive.
I don't know if it was... Did they ever get married?
No. She was just his girlfriend.
Mm.
But the fact that she's alive, to me, the only reason that she's alive is because she's got something. Somewhere there is something.
Well, yeah, I think... I've heard this theory, too, that if she has something that if she dies, it all gets fucking released.
Yeah, right.
And I think people know it.
Yeah.
So they ain't going to kill her.
Right. But that's what I heard. It ain't going to get released.
No.
So I just think it's a big nothing burger until...
And it's sad because...
Yeah. There's a shitload of girls out there that deserve the justice.
Oh, 1,000%. And the other thing that's... The positive thing about this whole situation for us as American people is that at least, if nothing else comes from it, at least it shined the light that there are some high-level elitist people, celebrities potentially, that are fucked, Rick.
Just sick bastards.
Sick bastards. Yep. There are some sick bastards out there that...
Once again,
And the thing about it is we'd love to know it, so we couldn't support those sick bastards and they could get the hell out, but I don't know if we'll ever come to it. It's messed up no matter what. No matter how you write it, it's messed up. But I don't know. I'm hoping that we will get to see the official list, because I'm not buying that that's the official list at all, or something comes out that's a little bit more. I just want justice. I want some clients that did the shit that they did to
get prosecuted.
Yeah. For sure. 1,000%.
Okay. The last thing we're going to talk about, and we've had some people that have, this kind of goes into Q&A, that have asked us questions about it, but there is a shitload of turmoil going on in Europe, all over their multiple countries, but ag especially is just getting, I mean, European farmers, they've had it. They have freaking had it.
Good for them.
In Germany, the farmers are out again shutting down the Autobahn. They shut down a bunch of cities. There's all kinds of video of them dumping manure on the steps of the legislature in Germany. France, the Netherlands, they're protesting. And what they're protesting about is taxes, the price of energy, basically their livelihood being legislated out. And so I'll give you some examples. In Germany, the farmers are protesting because they were basically, I think they've got sped up depreciation, where if you buy a tractor, you can depreciate 100% the first year, which we have that here. A lot of industries have that. Construction guys, a lot of people, you can buy, you know, if you buy something for your business, you can write off, you can kind of pick what the depreciation schedule is. But they also had a bunch of diesel subsidies, and there was some other tax breaks. Well, Germany's broke. I mean, they're broke. They made the decision a long time ago to get rid of all their coal and natural gas, and they started getting it from Russia, and they thought that was never going to end, and then all hell broke loose, and their utility rates are going through the roof. But they decided to cut $983 million in subsidies from farmers. And we can debate about whether that's right or wrong, whether they should have the subsidies or not, whatever. But they had them, and they cut them. And that's what's going to get brought up. They're going to say, oh, these greedy fucking farmers, they shouldn't have those subsidies anyway. Well, what you don't hear about is the reason they did that, though, is because they're going to take that money and they're going to spend it to reduce their greenhouse emissions. And they picked on the ag sector because ag is responsible for 7.4% of the country's total greenhouse gas emissions. 7%. They're not going to go after whoever's making 30% or 20% or 70%. They're going to take it after them.
And the other thing is, the people that are it's not just affecting farmers also. There's blue collar industries inside too that are being affected by this shit that are also protesting. You see the clips of the farmers spraying manure on the streets and taking the tractors and blocking shit off. That's happening. But there's a decent amount of blue collar people too that are being affected by the shit that's going on there. So that's the other counterpoint to any of you fuckers that say, oh, it's the greedy fucking farmers that are the ones that are pissed off about this. No. It's a lot of people.
Germany especially, they are so upside down. They have been taken over by the greenies. And here is a perfect example of the stupidity that is running that country. So Germany has as much installed solar panels, as California does. Yet they produce like not even a quarter as what California does. And the reason, and anybody that knows anything about, I guess, the weather, they didn't ask. The sun does not shine in Germany very long or very often. Most of their days are cloudy. They don't get very much sun. They have invested billions in this solar. And then what happens when the sun doesn't shine? They have to fire up coal-fired peaker plants to take up the difference. But when they fire those up, they do not count those emissions from those plants until they're up and running. And the most emissions comes from starting them up. I mean, it's the fucking way they juggle the numbers, baby. It's just fucking bullshit. Anyway, that's Germany for you. And the Dutch, they've decided the only way they're going to be able to lower their carbon footprint is to get rid of all the cows. And so they don't need cows. They don't need farmers. They don't need farms. So $26.2 billion is being set aside to buy out over 3,000 peak emitter farms, which are cattle, dairy, whatever.
Family farms.
And they're going to give them 120% of their assessment.
I love the wordplay. I love it. They want to. I love how the media and just all that shit. They love to say industrial agriculture is the devil. Yep. They take out the family farms. And it's the factory farms that are taking everything out.
Yeah,
and then here we are. What do they say here? What do they say? What is the word?
They're the peak. Peak emitter.
They're gonna buy out the peak emitter farms.
Yeah.
But we all know that those are the family farms. They like to put family farms on a pedestal where most farms, you know, they're kind of family, you know, a lot of farms are family farms. And then when it's not convenient for them to use family farm as a term on their wordplay, they'll use that shit.
Yeah, and
it's fucking dumb.
Any of you out there that are thinking these are like industrial farms. No, your average dairy farm size over there is much smaller than what it is here. So these aren't like big. These are not what it's big to them. To us, this would be a small dairy farm.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, why? So why are they doing this? Well, it's because the Dutch ag sector is responsible for 15% of their carbon emissions. So you see how this pattern is going? And what's going to happen is, I'll just say this, and I wish this wasn't true, but I really think this is what's going to happen.
Hot take.
And I said this to DeSantis when he was here. So the number of farms in Europe has fallen 37% from 2005 to 2020, about 5.3 million fewer farmers for the continent of Europe. So when international trade breaks down and Europeans starve, then and only then will they go, well, maybe that wasn't a very good decision. And France is the same way. The same shit is going on in France. Farmers are protesting there. And you're right. It's not just about that. So anybody here that is of a liberal mindset often likes to romantically daydream about if only the United States could be more like Europe, because the Europeans, they're so sophisticated and they're just ahead of us, and they're, you know, they're working all this stuff out.
They're grounded.
Progressive. They're progressive. Well, they are. And if you want to see the shit show that could be coming here, all you have to do is look at Europe. And if you are a middle class person in Europe, you are in a hell of a shape, because there isn't going to be a middle left, because they're going to tax and inflate your cost of energy, your cost of travel, transportation, and the number of good-paying jobs that are available to you industrial-wise just keep shrinking. And it's a mess. So that's why the farmers are protesting.
No, I agree with you. It's what you said on the DeSantis podcast about, it's funny that we just can't, people just don't know their history.
Well,
but I don't even, like, the people pushing that shit there, do they even care what the history is? Because to them, I feel like they know, I mean, either they're incompetent or they intentionally are doing it because they know the whole green movement's going to fucking line their pockets. Yes. I mean, those are the two options. Either you're stupid as fuck or you're going to get rich as fuck. Either one. Those are your two options.
So they have sold their soul for climate change. Their politics, I mean, they've got, those governments are run by progressive, far left people. And they think, so here's a crazy, this is a crazy thing. So in Europe, you can pay to have your avocado that's grown in South America.
Or Mexico
or wherever it is. You can have that, all of that industrial agriculture, and they're fine with it as long as it's somewhere else. And that's what they're kind of trying to do. They want to buy their products made in China, and they don't care how many coal plants China has running. And they buy their produce from South America or Africa or wherever. They just don't want any of that industry there because they think that that's how they're going to save their little chunk of the world. They're not nearly as visionary as what everybody wants to build them up to be. And I'll, you know, I probably reference this too many times, but if you follow Peter Zion at all and you look at demographics, it doesn't really matter because Europe's screwed anyway. Because in a matter of before my life ends, there isn't going to be enough Europeans left to work in a factory, to farm, to do anything. Because
not enough young people.
They haven't had enough kids.
Well, and the sad thing is I feel bad for the farmers over there, one, but two, yeah, the people. Because the people starving, either they're going to import all their food, which that's what they'll do, and it's going to cost an astronomical amount of money for the everyday consumer, and I think it's all going to implode on itself because either you're going to get out or you're not going to afford, and the government's going to have to provide aid, and you're just going to go backwards.
There is a great video out there if you get on Google or YouTube.
Or they'll starve. I mean, right. Whatever.
And I don't know what, I really don't know what it's called, but I think if you search like who owes who in Europe, or which European country is the most broke, or European countries bailing each other out, there is this fantastic video, and it's two economists, and this, it was shot during like the when Greece just about defaulted on all their money, and they're just sitting down, and this guy says, who owns Greece's debt? And this guy says, well, the European Union does. It's Germany owns and France owns. He goes, well, how much debt does Germany have? And he says, oh, it's got this many euros. Who owns their debt? Well, Britain and France and the Netherlands. Well, how much debt does France have? Da-da-da-da. It goes round and round. And it finally, he says, you know, who owns Spain debt? Well, Greece owns a bunch of the. But you said Greece was broke. Well, yeah. And basically what you figure out is that whole continent is so far in debt and has printed so much money to subsidize a bunch of shit that does not help anybody, including the farmers. They've subsidized everything because their costs are so high. There's no way out for them. There's no way out for them.
See, well, I would say there's potential if they can over... I stand with them for protesting.
No, I don't.
I 1,000% stand with them because if I'm in their shoes, I'm going to fight for that, you know?
It's all you can do.
It's all you can do. And so I think their only way out of it is if they can turn shit around and fight for it and overthrow the crazy ass shit going on. And hopefully they do. Keep painting them streets full of shit. Hog manure. Yep. Or whatever manure they got. Yep. Keep fucking painting it. I would do the same. I feel for them. That sucks.
But that's what we have to do. You know what? They're protesting.
And we can't let that shit come here.
Right. And you've got to stand your ground everywhere. And you cannot rely on politicians to make the right decision, whether they're European politicians or American politicians. You just can't, because they don't have your best interest in mind.
Well, they're out of touch.
Completely.
Or they're trying to make money.
Or they're both.
Or they're both. Last one that I'll throw in, this is not even on the sheet, and you're probably looking at me with a hairy eyeball. I know we're at 113, but no, we're getting there. And I don't have much information on this, but I came across a Netflix documentary yesterday, or a couple days ago, Saturday night. Today's Monday. And on the top 10 Netflix shows, at number 3 was this documentary about a whole group of probably 6 set of twins, identical twins that have the same genetics, and they are going to see if they can feed one set of twins a plant-based diet and one set of twins a healthier diet that most Americans eat, where it's,
balanced diet?
Well, it's there's a name for it. You eat carbs, you eat meat, you eat everything, right? Fats, all that.
Traditional diet.
Yeah, yep. Traditional diet, but a little bit healthier. And I didn't even get all the way through it. I couldn't even watch it all. Because in the first episode, if you are, if you can think for yourself at all, you can very easily tell that this documentary aims to point out that meat is terrible for you. Meat and dairy is terrible for you. You should not eat a lot of meat. You should eat less meat. You should consume less dairy. And that, I mean, I didn't even make it through to the end to see if, you know, the person that does end up eat the twin that does eat meat ends up in a better shape than the one that eats a plant-based diet. I don't know. I didn't finish it. But what I can tell you from just watching what I watched, that whole fucking thing was aiming for people to eat a plant-based diet. That's what I gathered. And I had to shut it off because I was like, this is so blatantly obvious, it's not even funny. That was the whole thing. It was trending number 3. So that's what they did. They got 6 set of twins, one person ate a plant-based diet, one person ate a traditional diet, and they were going to compare results at the end to see who ends up healthier, and I don't know what parameters they used or whatever. But I couldn't even watch it all because...
You needed a TV break.
Holy shit. Guys, this idea of them wanting to tell us that meat is bad and dairy is bad, you got to do your own research. And I do believe that every individual is different as far as what foods you react to.
Yep.
And what fits for one person might not fit for you. But to make a documentary and promote one diet more and list all the negatives of another, just irresponsible. And it also was anti-ag. It was big anti-ag, big anti-American food. Farmer food.
Anti-food.
It was. It totally was. They talked about factory farming and American farming and how it industrialized and why it industrialized and just shit. It was shit. So if you're a farmer or anybody that wants to get pissed off for a night, go check that out and let me know how you get through the first 30 minutes. But I had to shut it off because I saw a really good LinkedIn video the other day, and I can't remember what the guy's name was, but he posted it on, and he was on a podcast talking, and he was like, you know what? I'm going to dedicate my life to, you see how many anti-agricultural documentaries, shows, movies that come out. I'm going to do the opposite, and I'm going to dedicate my life to making movies, documentaries, TV shows to promote agriculture because that's the only way you can fight it.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yeah, brother. I love that. And that's kind of what we're doing here too, you know?
Some days it's enough to drive a man to drinking.
It is. It is enough. It really is. But it just pissed me off, and it's just another documentary, another example of them trying to make us eventually eat crickets. I don't know, but it just makes you wonder why the hell that gets shoved down your throat so hard. But
you know, the only thing that gives me hope,
what?
Our awesome audience, listeners, the people that support us. You are a great bunch of folks.
Well, it makes us not feel like we're crazy.
Right.
That's, you know, it really validates to us that, hey.
Well, there's a few that make me feel a little crazy.
Yeah, there are. I mean, not everybody's supposed to agree with us, but the fair amount of you that do listen or watch the show can meet us at our points and sometimes agree, sometimes not, and sometimes you might agree with a little bit of it or not all of it.
Yep.
But hey,
whether you agree or you disagree, we don't care, just as long as you follow Jay's lead.
Jay's lead. Wow, look at that tie-in.
Our good friend Jay from the great state of Kansas. Isn't he from Kansas around yep. Wichita area?
I think so.
We got a box in the mail the other day. And actually, this is the second box we've gotten. And he had in there not one, but two bottles of whiskey. He sent us a bottle of Monkey Shoulder and then, hold that up, a bottle of Still Austin. And I'm really excited for that Still Austin. We're not going to open it today because we're long enough the way it is. But we will, upcoming bourbon minute, we will go through it. So I heard about this, and I've seen some people talk about it, and I was very excited. And I don't have either one of these, so we're going to have it. And out of the kindness of his heart, he threw in some Bucky Nuggets. They're Beaver Nuggets.
From Bucky's, the fantastic gas station of America.
Bucky's is, if you have never been to one, when my wife and I went down to Daytona Beach, we stopped at several Bucky's, and it's pretty freaking amazing.
It's insane.
It's the most American, like, if you want to know, like, I can't think of anything that's like more American than Bucky's, because it's like we're gonna take a gas station
10x
and we're just gonna pimp the living shit out of it. Because
yeah.
It's and all I can say about these nuggets, the Beaver Nuggets, is they're damn good. But I hope they didn't feed these to one of the twins.
Yeah, the nutritional facts will scare you.
Yeah, you don't
want to eat those out of the bag. You want to put them in a bowl and eat them. Away yes, from right. the bag.
The best thing to do is to take them out of the bag as quickly as you can, because they are very tasty. You just don't want to read the ingredients. So
yeah.
Anyway, Jay, you're a hell of a unit, and we appreciate you. And that was a great care package.
You want to know what makes our days sometimes? That right there.
Yep.
Friend of the show, sending a viewer, a listener of the show, friend of the show, sending some bourbon and some freaking snacks to keep our bellies full.
Yep.
And our... drown our
Jay,
sorrow.
We agree with you. 24 is going to be a shit show, and we're going to do our best to get through it.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, I think we got all our words out for one day, so we appreciate you tuning in. Share the show. Leave a review. Send us your questions. Email them to barntalkshow@gmail.com. We love you guys. We appreciate you. We'll see you back here next week for another episode.